everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. If you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you've definitely heard us mention Lenny Rips a time or two. Lenny was a writer on Full House during seasons 1 through 3, creating some unforgettable episodes, including the Sea Cruise, which we can't wait to...
We won't hold him responsible for that.
We forgive him and can't wait to talk to him about it.
Yes.
I personally have a personal affection for Lenny because he is the writer who created Kimmy Gibbler, and I cannot wait to pick his brain about this. He's known us since the very beginning, and we're so excited to walk down memory lane with him. Here he is, Lenny Rips. Lenny, we haven't seen you since the original Full House. Like, for 30-something years, we haven't seen you.
It's really extraordinary because Full House is with me all the time. I get upgrades and I cut in line.
See?
People love Full House.
That's it. It was good for a lot of line cutting. There you go.
Yes. Oh, excellent. Go. And it's interesting how beloved it is.
So beloved. I just went to 90s Con this weekend where they do a bunch of different shows
and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Like, the fans absolutely lose their mind over Full House. It's so great. And it's such a crazy thing that it's still going after all these years.
And it's interesting because it was such a struggle to figure it out.
Yeah. The first season we were like, oh, I don't know, guys.
Well, the issues were that we were not used to writing family shows.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I came, the first people I wrote for was Joan Rivers and Rodney Dangerfield and Bette Midler. You know,
love.
I mean.
That blows my mind. Wait, you got to tell this story because this is crazy how you met Joan Rivers.
We love getting everyone's history because, yeah, things that we didn't know about when we were kids that now we're like, oh my God, we were like, everyone was legendary that we were working with and we had no idea. We're just bopping around like.
Well, okay, I'll tell you a quick. I got out of college with a degree in film history, which is worthless, but for 4 years,
you love it. Right. Yeah.
It's like getting a degree in show and tell, you know, it's
right. Right. Which is also called a theater degree, but whatever.
Exactly. So I got out of school and it was a recession and there weren't a lot of jobs. So I moved back to Baltimore just to look for work. I did 8 different things, and I became a social worker.
Really?
Insane. Yeah.
My husband's a social worker, so I love that.
Cool.
Yeah.
post. So I did that for 3 years. And in the interim, some friends of mine and I started a downtown newspaper.
Okay.
And I wrote restaurant reviews and a boxing column. And it was pretty funny. And a woman who worked for the state of Maryland read it and was doing bicycle training films for children.
Okay.
And hired me to write these little films. And in the interim, Joan Rivers came to Baltimore, and this friend of mine, this woman, is the most aggressive person I've ever met. And she walked backstage and she said to Joan Rivers, "I have a friend who's really funny." Joan says, "Great, have him come tomorrow night for the show. I'd like to read his jokes." This friend of mine called me the next morning and said, "Joan wants to read your jokes." I said, "I've never written a joke."
You said, "I don't have any for her to read," but
yeah. But I mean, I was funny, and the
right.
newspaper columns were funny, but they weren't. She was so stupid that he was so fat that.
Right.
So I sat down and I wrote 10 jokes, and I went backstage, and she did one on stage and killed, and she used it in her act for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I remember the very first joke was, "My mother is a lousy cook. She serves ketchup as a vegetable." Yes. It was a big joke.
That's great.
And then and I got $7.50.
Wow.
And every week.
Which is still a lot for comedy these days.
Right. So every week I sent her 50 jokes.
Okay.
And she would buy one or two, but in turning them down, you begin to understand writing jokes is about syntax and vocabulary, and Joan Rivers wouldn't say those words or not in that order.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find her voice.
Yeah. Stand-up, exactly. You have a very definite way you tell jokes, you tell stories.
Yeah, but great line for the old comedy writers was, "Think Jewish, write Gentile." Well, you know, which means put your sensibility.
I mean, so many of the best comedians, comedy writers are Jewish. There is a certain point of view. I find that it's great writing.
Mm-hmm. So then I came out here and I hung out at the Comedy Store in the Improv and started writing jokes. And Joan Rivers was out of town for 3 months. And when she came back in town, she got me a few interviews and I started in variety television.
Okay.
With for Dick Van Dyke and Captain and Tennille,
Captain and Tennille, Muskrat Love. Come on,
Muskrat Love, and all of these hokey shows.
Right.
And I wrote the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh well, we're gonna get to that.
We're gonna get to that because Andrea watched it. Well, tried to. Her TV
tried to watch.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So then after that, I was doing pretty well in variety, and my agent said, "Variety is dying, you got to do sitcom."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I took a pay cut of half to get back into sitcom. And so that's how I got started. And then I wrote features and other things. But most importantly, I wrote Full House.
So how did you get involved with Full House? Did you meet Jeff Franklin and he pulled you into the team?
And I were doing Bosom Buddies.
Oh, okay. Jeff was doing Bosom Buddies. Yeah.
Jeff was a consultant on Bosom Buddies.
Okay.
So he would come in a few days a week. Punch up and look at stories. You know, I mean, he was very helpful, obviously.
Yeah.
That's where we met.
How did you wind up on Bosom Buddies? Just through the shows in the business?
I had done a show for Paramount called Angie with
Angie.
Donna Pascal, who was in Saturday Night Fever. Donna was the girl in the back seat.
Okay.
And really, really talented person. So that was my first full-time sitcom show. And Paramount was very much a family then.
Right.
So everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
And when Bosom Buddies came up, I was young. And Bosom Buddies at the time was a very, very hip show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Very popular.
Huge.
So I was new blood on the Paramount lot. And I got an interview and it worked out. And again, that was the difficulty. You go from Bosom Buddies, where we're doing tattoo jokes and sexual jokes, to Full House.
Yeah. Right. You've got to.
How do you figure that out?
Yeah.
That explains a lot, actually. That explains a lot about season one.
Well, we were just trying to find our way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
how do you be funny with kids without writing adult jokes that kids are saying?
Right. And also, like, the show, you know, originally was about three comics, and it really was kind of more focused on the adults, on the guys, which was most shows that had kids in it were about the adults, and the kids were kind of the side pieces. And Full House was one of the first like real big family sitcoms that the kids were just as important, I feel like, in the storylines and in what was going on in the house and the scenes as the adults were. And I feel like that wasn't the case always with a lot of...
You know, I think what we discovered is that the story was not... While the family was important, it was the journey of the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the success was a time in America when families were falling apart. Mm. And everything was very, very different.
Right.
That kids didn't have moms and dads like they always did. Everything was changed. And Full House, I think, in a positive way, gave validation and approval to that. It says you can have an unconventional family and still have a wonderful, loving family.
Yeah. Mm. And that is a message that so many fans like reiterate to us over and over and over again, how impactful that was because of how many people out there that don't have families that look like, you know, quote unquote, what they think it's supposed to, and being raised by grandparents or uncles or this. And I'm so glad that Full House, we got to be a voice for making people who maybe didn't feel like they saw their family on TV feel a little more like, no, this is family is who you love and who raises you. And that's what counts.
And it all seemed very normal.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the other thing that I worked for. This is a very normal family. Mm-hmm. Although the situation is odd.
Right.
The family is real.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we wanted, without knowing it, probably, it's something that we wanted to say.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents stayed together, but that was just for the sake of the dog. But by and large, kids needed to see there's life after divorce. Mm-hmm. Life after death of a parent.
Yeah.
And you could still fine and be stupid and be dopey and have a great time.
But there was definitely, there was still heart to the family that really like was, you know, despite all the ridiculous situations that they really cared about each other and it was genuine.
Right.
And also, you know, because the cast really cared about each other, that sort of genuine love and affection was a lot easier to portray and to write for because we actually enjoyed each other.
So sometimes the conflict for me and other writers was not everything ends happy.
Right, mm. Right.
And when I was there, we never got the answer, but we never figured it out. But I wanted some shows to end unhappy, where problems weren't solved.
And a little more realism, right.
I also wanted to tell the story. Even if problems aren't solved, people still love each other and life goes on.
Yeah, that's an important message.
Yeah.
This was a different time in the world and they didn't want to tell that story.
Right. Yeah, it was. Fine. Yeah, people definitely wanted things to like, particularly sitcoms, like I want it to kind of wrap up and be and know that there's an ending and know that everything's going to be okay. I'm also like you and a little more like, well, but sometimes, you know, it's not all tied up in a nice little bow in 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think there was also something really appealing about that to people that because you don't get that, people were like, oh, great. I just want to see some family look like they're getting it together.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I was right, by the way. I'm saying that was something that we sometimes talked about.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Because, you know, Full House was, everything worked out okay and everyone ended with a hug. And that's, you know, that's not life, but it was.
But that's okay.
Great.
My rationalization was that fantasy is okay too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that fantasy of family always sticking together and working it out and ending it with a hug and nobody getting really ever that mad, like that was a huge appeal of the show because so many kids tell us, like, I grew up in an absolutely chaotic household.
Yes.
And everyone was screaming and everyone was this. And so to see a family that like can be upset at each other or something, but then work it out and it's not, it doesn't turn into a big thing and they hug it out and everyone like that gave so many people hope that like, you know what? My family might be kind of crazy, but like this is possible. It is possible to talk through things and work it out. And that's awesome.
And if I had to do it now, I think I might make, because the world is a different place. I think you could tell those more complicated stories now.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think on Fuller, we were able to do a little bit more.
That's right.
Because the sensibility is a little bit different. People are kind of like, look, you can't, everything isn't perfect. But.
And also you were adults.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones. No, nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going
to
put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you listeners, but my social battery has been pretty drained recently. I've noticed how easy it is to spread myself too thin, especially when life feels nonstop. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you manage to maintain a good balance? I found therapy to be the best tool in maintaining my energy levels. I'm now able to be my best self for not only my friends and family, but most importantly, for me. I truly believe therapy is for everyone, no matter how big or small your problems may seem. Seeing a licensed therapist can help you get to the root of your problems and empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door. Or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. So had you written for any kids before?
Well, as I say, the
bicycle videos that you had started with, but that was really.
No, but being a social worker, I work with kids. Mm. So while I hadn't necessarily written for them, I knew how to listen to them.
You really did. You really did. And you wrote some of the greatest. Some of the greatest episodes for the kids in those early seasons. You really, like, brought a voice to the young people of this show, and your humor and all of that. Like, so much of that is evident in Steph, in you know, kind of the smart ass comments and stuff. It's really helped shape her. I love it.
Yeah, you wrote some of my favorite episodes, like the chicken pox episode from season one. The oat boat commercial, you wrote that one. Just One of the Guys with Kirk Cameron, you wrote that one. Like all of my favorite episodes, say,
I
written
wrote
by Lenny Riffs.
14 of them.
Wow.
Wow.
So thank you for residuals. I still get them.
You're welcome. Well, when those were a thing too, you know.
The gift that keeps on giving.
And I made friends on the show that are still friends today.
Oh.
I love that. That's the one common thing throughout the cast and the crew is everyone says, I still talk to people that I met 30 some odd years ago on that set and we just clicked. Mm-hmm. It was a just such a family. We were really, really fortunate.
We were also, in terms of the writer's staff, we were there 80 hours a week.
So yeah, you guys were, that's the thing. Writers, in fact, you know, nobody knows it, but writers are there all hours of the day and night. They're in the writer's room. They're basically trapped in there. They're fed pizza and crusts of bread. No.
Energy drinks.
Yeah, they're locked in a room. No. But it is, I mean, the writing staff puts in heavy, heavy, heavy hours and really spends a lot of time.
So it's like being in battle. These are your comrades.
Yeah.
There's a lot of juggling you have to do because you're writing scripts that are coming up in the future while revising the current script that we're shooting this week. So there's a lot of manipulation of your brain. You have to be thinking forward, but staying current as well.
Lenny, I don't know if you know this, but Andrea actually wrote an episode of Fuller House at the end.
Oh, no.
Andrea is an incredible writer. And so she got to write an episode. So she was there in the writer's room.
Blew my mind. It was so great to get experience because as actors, we don't see the script until it's the table draft, you know, till we're there for the table read. So I had no idea. This process starts like 3 months in advance where you have to submit an idea and then, you know, a one pager and then an outline. And every single step has to get approved by the network and the studio.
It's
a very involved process.
And the producer. Yeah, it's at the end of the day, we don't want the audience to see how you make the sausage, right?
Right.
Our audience wants to know.
Because the sausage does not usually look good in the very beginning. The sausage that we start with looks nothing like what's put on the plate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. For the hell of it, I was doing an episode of Bosom Buddy. I saved everything from the first page to the final shooting strip, and it's a document this big.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Many strips. And this many colors. And,
right. Yeah. They're the whole color, you know, rainbow of pages you go through. But what a cool process to like see really how, you know, you don't quite think you're like, oh, there's a revision. There's a this. But like it's constant going over. No, this doesn't work. No. And we get it and put it up on our feet. And we're like, no, this doesn't work. This, you know, and like it's just a constant process of like that. No, that sucked. Don't do that. No, try this. No, that sucked too. You know.
Yeah.
You know, people would ask me, how long does it take to do a script? My answer is, until you shoot it.
Right. Exactly. And even then, you might go back and shoot it again.
That's right. I mean, I've worked on plenty of shows where we would redo entire acts on a Friday evening.
Yeah.
It was not great for the actors.
No. I think we've had to do that a couple times where we had to go back and shoot something from like a couple weeks previous or whatever. And yeah, you're like, oh. I've already let this out of my brain. I can't go back.
That's right.
It's also a very collaborative process. Once you get to a certain draft of your script, then it's turned over to the writer's room where y'all got to collaborate and pitch your jokes. Can you talk a little bit about writer's room dynamics?
Yeah, well, the writer's room is my favorite place. Mm. If I have any skill at all, is that I'm a pretty decent joke writer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very fast. And I stutter, so my joke always was, I'm faster than you, and I stutter, and I get more jokes in. But the writer's room is sports.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You have a table full of people who are all friends until you sit at the table and it becomes competitive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? I mean, you all say you're working for the same script, and you're all part of the same team, but I want to get my damn joke in.
Yep. Right.
And I want to get as many jokes that I wrote into that script as possible.
Right.
Because writers have egos the same way actors do.
Of course.
But this is how we express our egos is when you write a script and you hear your joke.
Right.
And it gets laughs. So the writer's room is Full House, Jeff Franklin, because he ran the show. You would sit in the room, the process is from the first outline, you go everything line by line. Mm-hmm. And so you do the outline and you like it, and then you write a second draft and you like it, and then you send the outline out to the producers and the executives and studio and other people who know nothing. Mm-hmm.
And they give you notes that you have to incorporate.
Mm-hmm. Or you got to figure out how do you do notes? You don't have to do everybody's notes. What I would do is do the really stupid, easy notes. Mm-hmm. And some would say, this character should change. You should do that line. And we need a green vase. I change the vase. And I tell them what a brilliant idea it was. Now the vase makes the scene work.
Right. Yeah, tell them it was their idea. That's brilliant. It's great.
And it makes sense because, listen, everybody wants to feel part of it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, every idiot executive wants to sit home with his family and say, that was my idea.
Right.
Yep.
And so you do that, you know, because you want to stay on the air. And
right.
And you don't want to give in to anything that's substantial.
Right.
Yeah. So you let them change the decoration on the tree.
Right.
Uh-huh. As much as you can.
And it's very much a like, okay, what, you know, I think a lot of people think, especially when you are a super successful writer or actor, and, you know, there's a little more pull, but there's always a committee of people above you going, yes, no, we like it, we don't like it, this sucks, can it?
And they're all afraid.
No matter where you are on the ladder, there's always someone above you going, nope. You know, and that's this business is like, you have to learn like, okay, what are my battles? What are the things that I really want to pick? What are the things that I have to do to make some other people happy? Cause they're here and I've got to all kind of work together. And it's such a collaborative process. And sometimes it's so difficult cause it's a collaborative process with a bunch of really creative people who
the collaborative process on stage.
Yeah.
When I would get notes from the guys or you, that made sense. Okay, the words were in your mouth. You know if they work better than I do. As long as you get the ideas right, you want to change words, that's okay.
Right.
If the ideas don't work with your character, let's talk about it. These are valid conversations usually.
Right.
I agree.
So there's this process. You're juggling. So you're working on ideas and outlines and drafts. You're doing all of this at the same time. That's really exciting.
It's super exciting, and you guys don't really see it like on its feet until well into the process. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair. Ugh. And head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com. Or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Do you remember when I brought in the violinist?
What?
You did?
Wait, for what episode?
At a Monday reading, we always, in the show, act in the last act, in the heart scene, right. There was always a violin playing.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
On Monday at a reading, I hired a violinist.
No, you did not.
I think I do remember
and
this.
At that scene, he walked and played the violin as you were doing the table.
That's brilliant. I do remember this.
That's like, commitment.
Now
Lenny.
That you bring it, that is genius. That is.
Why did we think of that ourselves for Fuller?
That's brilliant. It was like on Fuller. We had one of the who was it that dressed up once, and to do like a they one of the writers was reading one of the guest starring roles, and they like showed up.
Dude, like, as the Russian woman in the dressing room.
In the dress room, right. But they showed up like
the tuxedo
wrapped
shop.
In a thing. And just saying like the writers still love, they love coming in and doing something fun and ridiculous at a reading. Like, but that's brilliant. Just hiring a violinist. I mean,
people got so angry.
Oh, man. If you did that today, there would be 100 social media videos about it.
Oh,
so
my God.
I wish we had evidence of this.
All I'm saying is I'm finding someone who plays violin and I'm just going to have that number on me at all times.
So everything is always changing. And then, so the first day they read the script, you get everybody's notes. Mm-hmm. You redo those notes. So sometimes it's a couple hours. Sometimes someone looks at it and says, who wrote this shit and throws it away? And you start with
right?
Yep. Brand new script.
Yeah.
The evening that script goes out to the actors, the director. The next day, the writers come in and start working on next week's script as you guys are rehearsing.
Okay.
That Tuesday afternoon, we come and see the rehearsal. We start hearing from you guys what works, what doesn't work. The director has a meeting with us. We do the rewrite on Tuesday night. That could be small or big, depending on Wednesday. We're working on the next week's script. You guys are rehearsing and sending us notes saying that rewrite, this joke didn't work, or this move. We're doing that.
Right.
Thursday is camera blocking, where one of us is in the studio watching essentially a dress rehearsal with the cameras.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At that point, we try to do as little rewriting as possible. I think on Thursday night, you got very few notes usually.
Yeah. Thursday night, usually between like pre-tape day, which was Thursday, and show day, we didn't do too much rewriting.
Because the actors have already memorized.
Right. Although on Fuller, I feel like we did a few times. There was a couple times that we did a lot of big rewrites. I think usually when the legacy cast was there, I think between Thursday and Friday, it was always like, they were like, we don't like any of this.
Because John was always rewriting his lines.
Samos would rewrite everything. We'd be like, there's 17 new pages. Right. Like on show night. And we're like, what is this?
We felt that with a young cast, that just wouldn't work.
Yeah, you can't be changing. It's really hard to change all of that on the kids. That was when we were older. Right. That we could adapt to it. I mean, we still were like, what the hell is all these new pages? But
by the way, you do a joke better if you practice it for a week than if you heard it 10 minutes ago. So I don't think it gets better. I think it just gets different.
Right.
I agree.
Which is always the challenge for writers. We love jokes because they're fresh.
Right.
Well, if you've heard them five times, they don't seem funny. So you change them. But they are funny to audiences who've never heard them before.
Right.
So how do you trust your material?
Yeah. It's trusting the material. And it's also, I find, as an actor, finding something in it that I find amusing or that I can that I can pick out and do something different with, or you know, a different emphasis or a different something to make a joke stay fresh. And
but that's also the art of the comedy writer, is to put it in those words.
Right.
So it sounds like you thought of it, not like you read it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with characters like Jody and Andrea, those characters led themselves to big jokes.
True. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Right. I mean, they were always easy to write for because basically you had punchlines.
Yeah, we were the zingy punchlines, the sarcastic, you know, one-liners, the all of that. And
Kimmy didn't have to be realistic.
No, Kimmy was awesome. Anything goes with Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah. She was a wild card and could say or right. do her family could be, you never saw them, so you could make fun of them all you wanted with ridiculous stuff. Like, it was, she was must have been such a fun character to write for, because it was like,
yeah, it was in many ways the freest character.
Yeah, well, and you wrote the first episode that I appeared in, the first day of school.
I know, I created Kimmy Gibbler.
So you created Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah! Yes,
that was my idea.
Like, oh my gosh, I have so many questions I've never asked you. Tell me these conversations you had in the writer's room. What notes did you get about Kimmy Gibbler? How did you shape this character? What was in your brain? Tell me everything.
No, we just wanted someone really funny and stupid without any responsibility.
Okay.
Just a zany character.
Yeah.
Everybody was so conventional.
True.
And it was important to us to have an unconventional character.
A contrast to the Tanners.
I mean, that's always been part of sitcoms.
Right. Is the weird neighbor.
That's right.
Well, it sort of presents itself as a foil, like you said, to the conventionalism. And also, it's now an outside observer that's constantly in the Tanner house that can kind of say the things that maybe the audience is thinking you know.
Right. The Greek chorus.
And also a way to say the unrealistic, crazy stuff.
Right.
You know, she didn't have to be logical.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be this family person trying to make it go. She said whatever she wanted to say.
And to the adults, too. I was very snappy with the adults. And Bob Saget in particular, Kimmy and Danny had that dynamic where they would just lob barbs at each other.
But you know, that evolved. That evolved.
It did.
I mean, that happened because we saw Kimmy and Saget were good together.
Yeah, we're about to review an episode where it's one of the first interactions between Kimmy and Danny where it's just like, oh my gosh, here it is, the genesis.
You see it starting and you're like, they kind of start off with like, oh, Kimmy's annoying, but then you kind of see like Kimmy's annoying, but also like they kind of they tolerate her, but like toss jokes back and forth, you know, like
at first we just wanted her to be funny,
right?
And then Spencer said, well, you know, we got to give her more. Let's make her more of a person.
Mm-hmm.
I remember early on, she walked in, gave a zinger, and left.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in one scene, the first scene, and then I was out for the rest of the episode in the first season.
Kimmy was an 8-year-old Don Rickles.
Yes. That's a great, great description of her.
I mean, that's how I saw her. I always saw her as Don Rickles.
Ms. Personality. Yeah.
What a compliment. So, did you ever wish we would have met Kimmy's parents? Like, I know we meet her brother in Fuller House, but we never met Garth. We never met Mr. and Mrs. Gibbler. Was there any talk about introducing the Gibblers?
Well, when I was there, there was no talk about it. It's all. Okay. I think it's funnier to have imaginary characters.
I'll accept that answer.
I'm not saying that's true for all the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes.
You can reference people that are, yeah.
But when I was there, it was a pretty big cast. So we never talked about that.
We only got bigger.
I know.
Kept moving multiplied. In. Yeah. That house was, there was just too many damn people in that house.
Too many people. Oh, I love Lenny so much.
What a pleasure to talk to him after all this time. And he is still funny and witty and sharp as ever.
Oh, yeah. He's just, that was so special. I've always wanted to ask him about how he came up with Kimmy Gibbler and that character. That was so special. So special.
Oh, I'm so glad we got to have him on the show so that you and our audience could finally have all of the answers that they wanted about the creation of Kimmy Gibbler. Oh, Kimberly Gibbler. Yay. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today for another fantastic episode of How Rude Tanner Readers Were... Tanner Readers.
I kind of like that. I kind of like Tanner Readers.
How Rude Tanneritos. Such a pleasure to have you all here. Make sure that you are following us on Instagram at How Rude Podcast. You can also email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. You can send us questions for some of our mini-sodes, more questions that hopefully we can answer with some of our guests and wonderful things that we talk about. And also make sure that you're liking and subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening to it so that you can make sure and get the newest episodes as soon as they come out. So, thank you, everyone, for being here another week and having fun. And remember, the world is small, but the house is full.
Oh, you delivered it with attitude. Like, I can hear it in your voice. You are confident.
It's on a bracelet.
Wait, someone put it on a bracelet? Yeah. That's brilliant. So you can wear it like a cheat sheet.
Yep.
Aha!
Ta-da!
That is
Thanks,
brilliant.
90's gone. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.